good to be here tonight as we are coming back to just hear another portion of what God's Word has to say. Hope, pray, and trust that the things that are said tonight will be encouraging. Tonight I want us to notice three of the four Pauline prison letters. And I want us to notice his prayers in those prison episodes that he found himself in. I thought it was pretty interesting. The first one I want us to take notice of is Ephesians chapter 4, verses 14 through 21. And one thing I noticed about Paul's prayers, at least in these prayers, they were very spiritual, if you will. Really didn't focus too much on the personal body, but on the physical or the spiritual things. Here we see in Ephesians chapter 3, verses 14 through verse 21, the first one that we're going to look at, Paul, of course, being in prison, and he is just elated, if I can use that word. He's elated because Jesus Christ had broken down that middle wall of separation that was between the Jew and the Gentile. So he is very thankful that the mystery has been revealed. And Paul says that you can understand my knowledge in the mystery of Christ, verse number 4, Ephesians 3, verse 4, when you read. And it's interesting the things that we read concerning what Paul has to say about the mystery, Jew and Gentile being in one body. But we see something in verse number 14 through verse 21 that I believe is worthy of our attention. Notice what Paul says. For this reason, I bow my knees to the Father. Sound like he's about to pray, right? Sound like a prayer posture. Of our Lord Jesus Christ, from whom the whole family, notice where, in heaven and earth is named. Now, I just think that's very powerful. Because those who have died and went on to glory, if you will, awaiting the judgment day when we will all stand before Jesus Christ to give an answer to the things that we have done in this body, 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 10, whether it be good or bad, those who have been named the very name of Christian, or those who have died before the Christian dispensation but died faithful to Almighty God. And notice what he says, that he would grant you, according to the riches of his glory, here it is, to be strengthened. Strengthened with what? With might. The word strengthened there is the same word we find in Luke chapter 1, verse 80, and Luke chapter 2, and verse 40, when it was talking about Jesus Christ being a young man, and how he grew and grew strong in his spirit. Well, how did that take place? It took place because of his relationship with God, but also his knowledge of the Word of God. And notice what he's praying for here in this text in Ephesians chapter 3. Strengthened with might through his spirit, notice the location, in the inner man. Remember what Paul said in Ephesians chapter 6, be strong in the Lord and the power of what? His might. So notice the spiritual connotations that we see and the applications that we can make. And I want us to just bring out the information and you make the application in your own personal life. But here, the strengthening is in the inner man. Now notice, in order that Christ may dwell, notice the location, in your hearts. How? Through faith. Romans 10 and verse 17, faith cometh by hearing, hearing by the word of God. Friends, our inner man, our hearts cannot be strengthened without the word of God. All of us here knows that. But we have to be reminded that our true strength is going to come forth from the word of God. It's going to come forth from our prayer life with God and our meditation upon his word. But this is his prayer. Now, notice what he says. That you, this is spiritual, being rooted and grounded Notice in what? In love. Now turn to Colossians chapter 2, verse 6 and 7. In Colossians chapter 2, verse 6 and 7, notice the language that we see here that I believe you will find very, very helpful. As you therefore, verse 6, have received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk in him. Meaning your lifestyle needs to be in Christ Jesus. Notice the terminology again. Rooted and built up. Notice the location. In him and made firm. Some versions say established. Where? In the faith. As you have been taught, abounding in it with thanksgiving. Now, notice the rooting and notice the building up in chapter 2, verse 6 and 7 of Colossians, but back to Ephesians chapter 3 and verse number 17, we see something a little bit different, being rooted and grounded. The last thing that we want is not to be grounded spiritually. That's the last thing we want. We want to be rooted. We want to make sure that our roots go down deep. And this is Paul's prayer here as he is just thankful that Jews and Gentiles can now occupy the same space in Christ Jesus and be just thankful for that. But notice what he goes on to say. Verse 18. May be able to understand or comprehend with all the saints what is the width, the length, and depth, and height, to know the love of Christ. Now, this is two times we see love coming in the text. First being rooted and grounded in love, and now he's saying to know the love of Christ, which passes knowledge. Now, turn to Philippians chapter 4. Look at verse 6 and 7. In Philippians chapter 4, verse 6 and 7, we see some of the same language, but this is in the context of peace. Be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. Here it is. And the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Friends, I truly believe that God wants our souls to be grounded and rooted. He doesn't want us moving by every wind of teaching. He doesn't want those things that are on the outside to sway us away from him. So Paul's prayer here to the Jews and Gentiles in one body, I need you to be rooted. I need you to be grounded. Don't move. Why? Because that's where the security is. Notice verse number 19, the latter part of verse number 19. That you may be filled, literally filled to the full, with all the fullness of God. Now, the last time we saw this particular phraseology, Brother Hall, the fullness of God, is Ephesians chapter 1, verse 22 and 23. Notice what he says. And he put all things under his feet and gave him to be the head over all things to the church, which is his body, the fullness of him who fills all in all. Hold on. The church is the fullness of Christ, but here we see something powerful, that being filled with the knowledge of God's will, that is being the fullness of God. So when I know who God is, then I am filled to the full with God. And friends, what better person to be filled to the full with rather than God? Shouldn't that be our prayer? Father, I want to be filled to the full with your word. I want to be filled to the full with your power. I want to be filled to the full with your mindset. And when you cram it all in, that's really what that word pleroo means, to cram in that nothing else can fit, which means that only God, or I only make room for the God of heaven. Notice verse 20. Now to him who is able to do exceedingly, abundantly, above all that we ask or think, according to the ability, the power, the dynamite that works in us. Question, do we truly believe that? Do we believe that the God who is sitting high, who sent his only begotten son, Do we believe that he can give us everything that we need or ask or think? I believe that he can spiritually. Friends, we have to look at this the way that Paul was saying it. No, Paul is not talking about giving us the desires of our hearts concerning material things. He's talking about spiritually, because God, he himself, is spirit. But notice the last verse. To him be glory in the church. He's talking about the Father. By Jesus Christ, to all generations, forever and ever. Amen. Now, I want us to ponder this for a second from a spiritual perspective. Because when we think about our hearts being filled to the full with the knowledge of God, that means we make room for nothing else, and that's difficult. The second opportunity we have, look at Philippians chapter 1. Philippians chapter 1, verses 9 through 11. Again, Paul's prison prayers. It's interesting that when you find yourself in a prison, maybe you need to stop and pray. Well, I'm not talking about a physical, literal prison. But sometimes, spiritually, we find ourselves locked up. Well, Paul's locked up for doing that which was right. But notice this, what Paul says in verse number 9. Friends, this is spiritual. And this I pray, that your love may abound still more and more in what? In knowledge. Hold on. Your love? Your agape love needs to abound more and more. Notice, in knowledge and all discernment, in order that you may approve the things that are excellent. In Proverbs chapter 12 and verse number 4, talking about the woman. An excellent wife, an excellent woman is one of discernment. One who understands and approves things that are excellent. We ought to be those type of people that are praying that our love will abound more and more. And friends, it's possible for our love for God and for spiritual things to go cold. So here Paul is saying, these are the things you need to be concerned about and praying for. Verse 10, notice. In order that you may approve the things that are excellent, that you may be sincere. Meaning that you may have the light to shine upon you to examine your soul. That's spiritual. Oh, it's nothing to take a rag and wipe your face off because it has a little dirt on it. But it's another thing to go to God in prayer and to allow his word to shine the light upon our souls, to see those things that cause disturbances in our lives. Notice James chapter 1. In James chapter 1, we see something that will help us in this line of thinking as well. In James chapter 1, verse 21, through verse number 25. Therefore, lay aside all filthiness and overflow of wickedness, and receive with meekness the engrafted word which is able to save your soul. Be ye doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving yourselves. For if anyone is a hearer of the word, listen to this, and not a doer, he is like a man observing his natural face in a mirror. But he observes himself. He goes away and immediately forgets what kind of man he was. But he who looks into the perfect law of liberty and continues in it and is not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work, this one will be blessed in what he does. Friends, if we can do what Paul said in Philippians 1 and verse number 9, and what I'm saying by this is allowing the word of God to examine, to shine a light upon our souls so we can see who we are and make the necessary changes that God desires for us to make, and then we will be blessed in our deeds. It's powerful. That is something for us to always consider. And going back to verse number 10 of Philippians chapter 1, and without offense to the day of Christ. And friends, God desires for us to be a blameless people. It's interesting. People always are striving to be perfect. Well, to be blameless is to be perfect, meaning that one cannot bring an accusation against you and that accusation stands firm. Why? Because I've taken care of it. I've asked for forgiveness for it. I've made it right. I've corrected the error. And in this, we understand that I am going to be all right in the day of Christ, which is the judgment day of Christ. Notice verse number 11. This is Paul's prayer to the Philippian brethren from the same jail cell. Being filled, there's our word, filled to the full, with the what, Paul? With the results of righteousness. The fruits of righteousness. There's a passage that's coming to mind. I was going to see if I can find it real quick. I think it's Romans chapter 7. I think it's Romans chapter 7. Just thought about it right now. Let me see if I can find it. In Romans chapter 7, look at verse number, yes, here it is, verse number 5. In the first four verses, he brings up the contrast of the old system and the new system, and he brings in marriage in the midst of it to show that we're no longer under that old system, that we're under the new system. And the reason why is because when Christ died on the cross, he nailed that to the cross, and now we're married to him. Notice what he says in verse number 5 that is worthy of our consideration in this text. Verse number 5. As a matter of fact, verse number 4. Therefore, my beloved brethren, you also have become dead to the law. How? Through the body of Christ. Why? In order that you may be married to another, to him who was raised from the dead, that you should do what? Bear fruit to God. Why did God leave us his law? Why did God give us the system of Christ? Why should we be praying for spiritual things so we can bear fruit unto God? What type of fruit? Galatians chapter 5, fruit of the Spirit. And friends, we ought to be praying that we're more loving, more joyful, that we have more peace, that we're more long-suffering. Those are the things that we ought to be praying for, because in that, this is serious character building right there. Serious character building is found in the fruits of righteousness. Go back to Philippians 1. Let's finish up this particular verse. Which are by Christ Jesus to the glory and praise of God. Paul, why are you praying this prayer? Because I want you, Philippian brethren, to be a people who have the fruit of righteousness in your life. I want you to be a people who have a reason to glorify God, to praise God. And friends, you can't do that without being spiritual. A carnal man cannot come before God and offer up praise unto God, because Jesus called that vain worship. It's empty. It's nothing. It's futile. But here, this is all about spiritual growth. It's about being a better person. This is one of Paul's prison prayers. One more, Colossians chapter 1. This was a little bit longer. We're going to take a little time out real quick before we look at verses 9 through 14. I want us to take notice of verses 3 through 8. We're going to take a time out from Paul's prison prayers and look at verses 3 through 8 and notice Paul's gratitude. I just want to throw this in. And I want us to take notice of the word you and yours. Chris, this is powerful right here. You and yours. When someone wants you to have something or want you to know something, they're going to say, this is for you. And notice what he says in verses 3 through 8. We give thanks to God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, praying always for who? Can you imagine someone sending you a text or giving you a call when they see you, man? Brother Hall, I'm praying for you. I'm not praying for no one else right now. I'm praying for you. Or someone's praying for the local congregation. I'm praying for y'all there. I'm praying for you. This is Paul, another prison letter, same prison, and he's saying to the Colossian brethren, I'm praying for you. I'm praying for y'all. That's encouraging. That's the first time. Notice what he says. Since we heard of your faith, a faith worthy of being spoken of as the Roman brethren in Romans chapter 1. Your faith in Christ Jesus, and notice, your love for all the saints because of the hope which is laid up for you. Notice all these terms that are worthy of us thinking about. This is why when we're reading the scriptures, we got to slow down and really grab all of the flavorful meat that's in there so we can go ahead and be filled with it as well. Notice what was laid up for them. The hope. The hope is laid up for them. What's laid up for us? The hope. The hope of what? Eternal life. Friends, there's more to this life than what we see. There's more to this life than having the remission of sins. What is it? Eternal life with God. Everyone, again, I said this morning, who have experienced forgiveness of sins will not inherit eternal life. But we want to be those who look forward to that hope. But notice, of which you heard before. Where did they hear it, Paul? In the word of the truth, of the gospel which was come to you. So even the Colossian brethren have heard the truth of the gospel, as it has also in all the world and is bringing forth fruit. It's interesting that Paul's prayer to the Philippian brethren that they bring forth fruit, to his thoughts and words to the Roman brethren in Romans chapter 7 and verse number 4, that that old system was nailed to the cross. Jesus Christ brought a new law. We're married to Christ to bring forth fruit unto God. Why are we Christians? To bring forth fruit. Love and joy and peace, so forth and so on. Notice what he says. As it is also among you, since the day that you what? Heard and knew the grace of God in truth. As you also learn from Epaphras, our dear fellow servant, who is a faithful minister of Christ on your behalf. Friends, we have people who are working on our behalf to help us get better. I don't study the Word of God just for myself. I study the Word of God to help you get better. So since I'm studying the Word of God and Raphael's studying the Word of God and Brian's studying the Word of God and the elders are studying the Word of God and our brethren here are studying the Word of God, we should come prepared to eat of the Word of God so we can get better, so we can be more like Christ and be filled to the full with His Word. Notice what He says. Epaphras, our dear fellow servant, who is a faithful minister of Christ on your behalf, who also declared to us your love in the Spirit. Notice that modifier, that phraseology, in the Spirit. That's where they were located. Friends, this is powerful. Now, let's go back into the game and let's look at Paul's prison prayer, verses 9 through 14. Now, Paul says, for this reason, Randy, for this purpose, notice, we also, since the day we've heard it, we don't stop praying for you and to ask that you may be filled with the knowledge of His will. Paul is saying the same thing to the Philippian brethren, the same thing to the Ephesian brethren, but here's just a little bit more of a twist. The will of God. God's plan for you. And notice what he says. In all wisdom. Hold on. 1 Corinthians 1 verse 24. Christ, the power and wisdom of God. And spiritual understanding. Not understanding of just any subject. But spiritual understanding. Here, it focuses on that which is a deity. Friends, we stop and we consider this. We ought to be a spiritual people because that ought to be our prayer life. Notice verse 10, the subjunctive. The subjunctive, literally, when you see that phraseology, that your, that you may, that you might, meaning that these things are not going to happen unless that first happens. You can't be blessed by your parents or by a job unless you go to work, unless you are cordial. And here it's the same way. And notice what he says. In order that you may walk worthy of the Lord. Your walking worthy of the Lord is predicated on the wisdom and spiritual understanding. It's predicated. It can't happen. It won't happen unless those things happen before. So he's saying your wisdom and spiritual understanding is going to help you in your walking worthy of the Lord. But then notice what he says, Mike. Fully pleasing him. John 8:29. Jesus always did those things that pleased him. This was Paul's prayer to the Colossian brethren, being fully pleasing unto him. Uh-oh, here's this phrase again. Here's this terminology. Here's this concept. Here's this teaching again, being fruitful. Does God really want us to bear fruit? The answer to the question is yes. In how many good works? Every last one of them. Let me ask this before we go into the rest of this text. What good works have you thought about doing for the Lord lately? The Bible teaches us the good works. In Matthew chapter 25, Ephesians 2, 9 and 10, Titus 3. The Bible teaches us what those good works are. And that we ought to be zealous for good works. That we ought to maintain good works. We've been created in Christ Jesus unto good works. Moral works. Things that build up the kingdom of God. So we ought to be fruitful in every good work and increasing every single day. We ought to know more about Jehovah. Every single day, we ought to know more about spirituality. Every single day, Paul is telling these brethren at Colossae that you ought to increase in the knowledge of God. This is very powerful. Do our prayers sound like that? I mean, do we formulate? I don't. I have to be reminded when I read the Word of God, that's what I ought to be praying for. We're spiritual. We come here to be filled to the full with the Spirit. Jesus said, my words are spirit and they are life. Howbeit, when he, the Spirit of truth, is come. It's all about getting God's word in our heart that the power of God may work and reside in our lives. Verse 11. Notice, strengthen with all might according to his glorious power for all patience and long-suffering. Notice the attitude with joy. Paul, is this your prayer? This is my prayer for these brethren. I want them to have joy in their life. Giving thanks to the Father who has, I like the King James Version here, it says, made us meet. New King James Version here, Evelyn says, to qualify us. To be what? To be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in the light. Hold on. What inheritance? That eternal rest. Friends, it is not enough to have our minds just solely on this right here. Our minds, and the old folk used to always say, when I was a kid, you got to set your mind past the blue. Y'all remember they used to say that? You got to look beyond the blue. Well, who's beyond the blue? The one that's sitting upon the circle of the earth. The Father upon his throne. That's the one we need to be looking to. Our inheritance is there. Our hope is there. And that's ours. Notice verse 13. He has delivered us from the power of darkness and conveyed us into the kingdom of the Son of his love, in whom we have redemption. We've been bought back. How? Through his blood, the forgiveness of sins. Friends, what's your prayer? if you was locked up for the same reason Paul was locked up, would this be your prayer? Should this be your prayer? It ought to be our prayer. I want to challenge all of us to focus more on praying spiritually. Jesus said in Matthew 10 and verse 28, fear not him that can destroy the body, but fear him who can destroy both body and soul in hell. Fear him. That's the focus. That's the encouragement. And no wonder the psalmist said, I was glad when they said unto me, let us go into the house of the Lord. The psalmist in Psalm 73, my feet have almost slipped until I went into the sanctuary of the Lord. This is where we're encouraged and reminded we are a spiritual people. We just happen to live in a physical world on our way to a spiritual world called glory. I pray that we'll be more spiritual and that our prayers will be just like those that Paul prayed in prison as he is chained to a soldier. No wonder he could say, put on the whole armor of God. If anybody knew how to pray, Brother Raphael, it was Paul. And he teaches us how to pray. So let's work on our spirituality so we can work on our prayer life, that we can be more like the one who suffered, bled, and died on the cross for our sins. Believe that Jesus is the Christ. Confess that you have sinned. Confess Jesus Christ to be Lord, rather, and be buried in water to have your sins washed away. If you're a child of God and your prayer life has been non-existent, let's stop that. Your prayer life has been faint, let's grow. Your prayer life has been good. He said you can increase even in that. Let's just keep striving to be what God wants us to be, because friends, there are two entities. Two. We have to make up our mind which one we're going to serve. But I know one that plays for keeps, but he doesn't really love us. Matter of fact, the Bible says he hates us. That's the devil. There's one that plays for keeps, and he loves us. And he showed it by giving his son for us. Brother Lane is about to have a son. And Brother Victor just had one. He only been here for a couple of weeks. And I know if Victor had to give his life for his son today, he'd do it. Right now, wouldn't you? God knew how to do that too. Let's give our life for him. I'm just thankful that it just doesn't cost us our physical life, even though one day it may. But spiritually, he always gives us the reward that we don't deserve, but he's going to give it to us because we're faithful and blameless as we stand and as we sing the Savior's invitation.